Welcome to Nonprofit Showcase with your host, Fred Black. And in the showcase today, we are really happy to have two representatives of the Community Home Trust, Robert Dowling, the executive director, and Camille Berry, who is the development and communications manager. Welcome to the showcase.
Thank you, Fred.
Thank you for having us.
Well, I think the most appropriate starting question is, what is a community home trust?
Community Home Trust is a local nonprofit organization that does affordable housing mostly in Chapel Hill and Carrboro. Specifically, Fred, we implement the town's inclusionary housing.
Inclusionary housing. Now, that's something many people might not know.
That's a good point.
So what is inclusionary housing?
Inclusionary housing is a policy whereby a developer, when they seek approval to build housing in Chapel Hill, are required to provide some affordable housing in that new development. In Chapel Hill, it's mandatory with homeownership projects. In Carrboro, it's voluntary.
Okay. And so you build something and it's like a set aside. So many units will be set aside as affordable.
Exactly. In Greenbridge, for example, where there's 100 condominiums, 15 of those are affordable.
And so the people who live in those paid a different rate for those because the developer set them aside.
Yes. The developer was required to sell those at approximately, they were 1- and 2-bedroom units, and they both sold for less than $100,000, as I recall, whereas the market rate units started at $300,000 and went up to $800,000.
Mm-hmm. So you have various other properties that you are able to put people in that are affordable too.
As of this week, we have 247 homes in our inventory of affordable homes. About 200 of those are in Chapel Hill, and about 47 are in Carrboro. And this week, we closed on our 247th, which is the North Side. We're participating in the North Side Initiative with self-help, and that's being funded by UNC.
And the self-help bank does the mortgage work.
We actually didn't use them for the mortgage. They purchased the property using UNC's that $3 million no-interest loan that UNC provided to self-help. They purchased properties. They renovate the properties. They sold it to us. We sold it at an affordable price, deeply subsidized, to a couple that for 40 years have been renting in Pine Knolls.
Camille, as communications manager, how do you communicate this to people as to how they're eligible, how they qualify, and what separates those who can and can't?
Well, our most effective way of communicating is by word of mouth, and we encourage those who are homeowners, have been former homeowners, some have gone on. Some of our homeowners have been able to purchase larger homes. That's our first. But we also go out and talk with employers at the places of employment and talk with their employees to let them know that we have housing that is affordable to them. So then your employees don't have to travel as far to get to work.
Drive across two counties to work in Chapel Hill.
Exactly.
Now, we're criticized as a community quite a bit for not having the housing stock that would allow those who work and serve us here to be able to afford. So you're addressing that. But what qualifies somebody to be a participant in affordable housing?
Well, there are various affordable housing providers, Fred, as you know. It really starts probably with public housing, which the town of Chapel Hill manages. They have 336 units of public housing, and they can serve people at very low incomes. And we have Habitat for Humanity, and we have the IFC Transitional Shelter, Empowerment Incorporated, ourselves and others. And we serve mostly people in the 60% to 80% of median income. So what does that mean?
Give us an example. Yeah. Like a fireman, say. Or
a teacher. A teacher who makes $35,000 or $40,000, that's right in our wheelhouse. We tip the bottom of the – we can go as low as about $30,000 in income, and we can go as high – we can go as high as probably 70,000, but most of our portfolio is people at 50,000 and below.
And so this gives them an opportunity to buy a property that they wouldn't be able to buy otherwise.
Absolutely. And in many cases, you can own that property for less than it would cost you to rent.
And rentals are big right now. Is that accurate to say? Camille, is that what you see?
Yes, yes. And in fact, it's exploding. Robert probably could talk a little bit more about this.
I think most of the market nationwide has moved to rental since the 08-09 housing crisis, where a lot of people were thrown out of homeownership and back into the rental market. As a result, the homeownership rate has declined, but rents have gone up.
And some people, I've seen articles and things talking about millennials are not interested in being homeowners right now. They would rather rent, and they like the urban living style, being near the core, downtown or whatever, and rent rental property appeals to them.
It does appeal to them, and I think that's for a couple of reasons, Fred. Number one, many millennials are saddled with college debt.
High debt.
High college debt is right. I shudder to think how much they have. So that prevents them from buying homes. Mm-hmm. But secondly, they don't want to tie themselves down. They're not ready to settle down, many of them, yet. Now, millennials are only go up to about age 35, I think.
So they can pick up and move when they want if they're not tied to an ownership model.
Exactly. They're tied to a one-year lease, and then they can move.
You've been doing this kind of work for a long time, Robert. I think you've been in Chapel Hill area for 20 years now.
I've lived here for 22 years, and for that entire time, I've been doing affordable housing.
Okay. What has changed that's most significant in your mind over these 22 years?
Selling affordable housing used to be easier than it is now. The thing that's changed, Fred, are banks are not willing to make loans the way they used to make loans. Now, we all know banks made lots of mistakes in the early 2000s making loans to people who they shouldn't have made loans to.
Mm-hmm.
But our buyers are good buyers, and we stand behind our buyers. We've never had one buyer we have 247. We've probably had 350 transactions. We've never had a buyer get foreclosed upon. Because we stand behind them and we step in. And
so you're doing something in advance of the sale that helps to ensure success, the prep programs.
We educate our home buyers. We do even more education now than we did 10 years ago. We do financial counseling. We want people to really understand their budget and where their money goes.
And how to budget.
And when you own a home, as opposed to renting, when something breaks, and something will always
break. It's on you.
You don't call the landlord.
Yeah, tell that to a guy that just replaced a refrigerator, right? And if you don't have emergency funds, what do? You need a refrigerator.
You need a refrigerator. You need a roof that does not leak. You need an HVAC system.
And then out comes the credit card and rollover debt. Robert, when we come back, I want you to talk about the various programs like education that you're doing, because I think our listeners would enjoy hearing how you do this prep. And so we'll be right back. This is Fred Black, Nonprofit Showcase with Community Home Trust. Welcome back to Nonprofit Showcase, and we're on 97.9 FM WCHL, and this is Fred Black, and we are pleased to have with us Robert Dowling, who is the Executive Director of Community Home Trust, and Camille Berry, who is the Development and Communications Manager. And Robert, you were talking about the affordability factor and what we do to get people qualified. What are the programs that you have that work to do this?
We serve people, as I was saying, Fred, people generally between 60 and 80%. So to give folks an idea of what that is, the maximum income for someone, a single person, is about $40,000. That's 80%. And 60% is about $30,000.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a single person. Household of four, $56,000 maximum, down to about $40,000. That's the range of people we serve. Probably 85% of the people we serve are in those income ranges.
I see.
And if there are people out there listening, and you're within those income ranges, and you can't afford to own a home, you'd like to own a home close to where you work here in Chapel Hill, I would encourage them to contact us.
Come to see you. And we'll talk about how they can do that. Camille, they walk in the door, then what happens?
They walk in the door, and they will talk with one of our team members on the sales team, get signed up for orientation, because we want them to understand what it means to be involved in our program, what it means to purchase a home through Community Home Trust. It's not like you would going to another real estate broker. Then we schedule them for a one-hour financial counseling session. We want them to understand their budget, and they'll sit down one-on-one with someone and go through it. It can be intimidating. but we've got really good people who will help them figure out a plan. And then they will, along with many others, attend an 8-hour home buyer's education class. What does it mean to purchase a home for the first time?
And that's the one where you talk about true costs. It's
yes.
just not the mortgage.
Exactly.
It's the insurance.
Exactly.
It's the utilities. It's
and
we all those things.
We pull in specialists. We pull in mortgage lenders. We pull in insurance representatives to talk about those matters. And then you've closed on a home. You've moved in. How are you going to maintain it? We have a post-purchase maintenance class because we want that homeowner to maintain that home and have it last for as long as they're there. And then when the next homeowner comes in, whether it's their heir or they're going to sell it, we want that home to be in great condition.
Mm-hmm. Robert, I remember a couple years ago, I went along with you on a ride around town, and there were a bunch of us on a bus.
Yep.
Yeah, and we drove through some neighborhoods where Home Trust had some of your properties.
Yes.
And the thing that struck me, and I think you may have mentioned it as we were riding by, you challenged people as they went down the street to tell you which home was a Home Trust home and which one wasn't. And I don't think anybody could do that until the very end.
Right.
You remember that story?
Yeah, that's a common challenge. I like doing that to people when we do that bus ride.
And what's the point? I mean, the point is...
Fred, that we don't want affordable homes to be stigmatized.
Uh-huh.
We don't want them to stand out as, oh, that's the affordable home or that's the affordable section of the neighborhood. We want it to blend in.
So how did we get to this point where trying to help people afford a home somehow got stigmatized?
I don't know how we got to that point.
Is it just because people focus on the differences and, well, they're not paying what we paid?
I think inclusionary housing brings that to light because typically affordable homes used to be built in the poor part of town.
Property was cheaper.
Exactly. And if the home fell into disrepair, it wasn't so controversial. But in inclusionary housing, which is much more popular now around this country than it was 10 or 15 years ago, it's become one of the go-to methods for municipalities to create affordable housing. With inclusionary housing, it's important that homes not fall into disrepair and that homes not be stigmatized and that the homeowners in those homes, or renters for that matter, become part of the fabric of that community.
Mm-hmm. And they blend right in and nobody's making those distinctions.
Exactly.
And so that's one of your real challenges. What happens when somebody decides that they want to move up to a larger home? Do they sell it back to you or they go find a buyer themselves? How do you keep it affordable, in other words?
They come back to us. We sell our homes. It's a unique model that we do not transfer the deed to our property.
Okay.
The deed remains in our name and we convey the ownership interest using a 99-year ground lease. So what do our homeowners really own? They own what the attorneys call a leasehold interest in property. Because it's 99 years, it's tantamount to ownership.
Yeah, most people won't outlive their lease.
The lease will outlive everybody who signed that lease and maybe the building itself.
And so that keeps you in the loop in order to ensure perpetuating the affordability factor.
Exactly. And so when someone wants to sell, they come back to us. We market that home on their behalf, for free, no commission. And when we find an income eligible buyer who wants to buy their home and can get a mortgage, we set up a closing and we buy it back from the seller and we turn around and convey it to the buyer.
So what does the owner walk away with when you sell for them?
The owner walks away with any amounts of their loan that they paid down. So they're building equity every month when they pay down their mortgage. Plus, they have an opportunity to earn appreciation.
Okay.
And there's a formula in the ground lease that determines the level of appreciation.
So it's all spelled out in the documents, and everybody has a lawyer, and it's all...
We make sure that our buyers understand the implications of the ground lease because in addition to the training that Camille referred to earlier, we require our buyers to go to see their attorney to explain the lease, who will explain the lease to them. So they have that impartial...
So you're not
representation. We're not the
going
ones
to be accused
it.
Of feathering your own nest at their expense.
We, of course, do explain how it works, but we want the attorneys, their attorney, to explain it to them, their closing attorney. Yeah.
You mentioned the stock that you have put people in. What's it look like right now? If somebody wanted a home, are there homes available in Chapel Hill Carrboro?
There are. So we have townhomes available. We have three that I know of, and some rumors of others coming on the market. And I can't. We just sold our single family home, and I.
So it's really
condos.
a moving train.
It is,
and you have to get on when there's
exactly. And we encourage people to apply. There may not be the ideal property available for
okay,
you.
Okay, so you don't have to have a specific property sitting there right now.
Exactly,
I can be waiting.
Exactly, and to our applicants, they get the first peek. They get
okay.
a sneak peek of what's coming on the market before we announce it to the public at large.
Well, hold that at large thought, and we'll be right back after we take this quick break. This is Fred Black, Nonprofit Showcase on 97.9 WCHL. Welcome back to Nonprofit Showcase, and this is your host, Fred Black, and this is 97.9 WCHL, and we have the Community Home Trust Executive Director, Robert Dowling, and Camille Berry, who's the Development and Communications Manager. And when we took our break, Camille, you were going to tell us about something that opens doors. Was that the idea?
Yes, yes. Opening Doors, that's our signature event. And it is taking place on 9-9, that's September 9th, from 6 to 9 over at the Carolina Inn. Tickets are still available, so people can find out about that. They can go to our website.
What happens during that event?
Oh, it's going to be fabulous. Fabulous opening doors, Las Vegas night. There will be some great casino games that will be played.
I'm shocked. Shocked that gambling is going on.
Not gambling.
We're contributing.
Be...
The house
Fabulous
always wins,
games.
Right?
Yes. The house always wins, as does the community. And we're going to have a headliner, our own Joshua Lozoff. Magic is Life will be our headline act, and fabulous food prepared by the folks at the Carolina Inn. And there will be great prizes to be won, I should say, at the auction table.
Great.
And raffle. And we'll have a live auction this year.
Yeah. Well, Robert, how do people contact you for that as well as other information about the program?
We are easy to find if people can remember our name. CommunityHomeTrust.org.
Okay.
That's where we are. We just moved our offices. We used to be in Carrboro for many, many years. We're now near University Mall.
Right across from the mall, yeah.
Right across the mall on Connor Drive.
University Place now.
Oops, sorry.
Yeah. It's a new place.
University Place.
You don't sneak over and go to the movies in the middle of the day, do you?
No comment.
It's an attraction.
It's nice to be close to the mall.
Yes.
Place.
And they can also go to your website and donate. What would a donation do for your organization?
Well, we receive great support from the local governments, and we have been—
You're talking the county and both towns?
The towns. They receive wonderful support from the
government. And federal money?
No federal money.
No federal, okay.
But we still require outreach to the community, and we get great support from businesses, local businesses, and local individuals. And the Opening Doors is our signature event that we're having on September 9th. And we raised last year more than $60,000 at that event. For
so like other organizations, if you can't come to Opening Doors, a contribution would still be very helpful.
Oh, it'd be so helpful. Let me tell you a story. There is a woman who applied— through our program in May of 2013. She was income eligible, but she was not credit eligible. She worked with us. She initiated it, stayed in touch with our then finance manager, who is now our director of operations and finance. April of 2015, she closed on a new home for her and her two boys, who will now walk down the street to their school all through high school. Elementary, middle school, and high school. That's what a donation can do.
That's an amazing story because it does bring to life real people and the real situations that they face. Robert, before we run out of time, give me one last thought that you would like our listeners to have about the Community Home Trust.
Community Home Trust is part of the solution to the problem, Fred. What I'd like to say to the listeners is in November we have an election. we have a bond referendum for affordable housing bond. I'd like people to say yes to the affordable housing bond.
Well, thank you both for being with us today. And this is Nonprofit Showcase with Fred Black.